You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And we'll go to the scripture reading if there are no other announcements. It's in 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians 16, 10 through 13. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Okay, let's open with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, again, as we open up these scriptures, Lord, we ask your guidance, that the Spirit of God would work in our lives, that we can understand more. And, Lord, that it would not be just an intellectual knowledge, but, Lord, that it would gravitate to our feet and be incorporated right into our very walk. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Right, well, we're in 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. And I'm hoping to finish off the book of 1 Corinthians today, and this will most likely be our last in the series. And so this is part 44. So we've had quite a few sermons on 1 Corinthians. Right near the end of the slide series, I've put a slide in there which gives you a link to a place on rightdivision.com where you can see a series of messages I gave in New Zealand called Occupy Till I Come and Occupy Till He Come. And you'll see in there a great synopsis of some of the major points that we learn in 1 Corinthians, because there's some really, really good material in there, and it would be good to get a kind of a synopsis of those things, and that's a good link. So last time we looked at some passages relating to this death is swallowed up in victory, and I asked the question, when will that saying be brought to pass? Well, very clearly the context here is the resurrection. There is no doubt at all that that's what it refers to. So death being swallowed up in victory occurs at the resurrection. Now, we can talk about the fact that we have victory in Christ, but that's looking towards that time. We can say we have it because it's certain. We can say it because we have the prophetical now, and because we're in the body of Christ, of whom Christ is head, we know we have a specific resurrection which is going to happen. And whether it be to various rewards, a special resurrection, or part of a more general resurrection, the point is we have life. We do have life as a gift. And that life is fulfilled in resurrection. That's the point. And we talked about this idea of the flesh of Christ in many ways very different, because Christ did not have to die. He died because he took on the sin of the world, but he had no sin himself, and so his flesh was not corruptible. Over here it says now concerning, and we saw this, that particular phrase is repeated through some passages. And there are some very important imperatives that come up in this particular passage which relate to the Jews, and how that the Jews, because they had need, it was also important that the various Gentile churches would supply their need, because they as Gentiles were partaking of Israel's spiritual things. These things are quite clear in the scriptures. I mean, they're just written in black and white, but they were never made clear. In many, many talks that I've heard concerning 1 Corinthians, they never were brought out. So today, let's go to chapter 16 and verse 10. It says this, Now, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. And isn't this a tremendous thing, that Timothy, the younger man, could work in the same way that Paul worked? And we can work in the same way that Paul worked, if you rightly divide the word of truth. Because we can't work in the same way that Paul worked during the book of Acts. We don't have the gifts of the Spirit. We do not have those. Paul did. He was involved with miraculous signs and wonders and all these manifestations. We don't have them. So when we see Timothy, yes, he worked as Paul also worked. Yes, we can work as Paul worked, as long as you recognize that Paul had another work, a prison ministry. And so we can work after a similar fashion also. And he goes on and he says, let no man therefore despise him, because there's lots of reasons why that could take place. We get a hint at it when we read later on Paul's post-Acts ministry concerning Timothy. And he talks there about, you know, don't let anyone despise thy youth. So he's a young man. And perhaps sometimes when we look at the younger men, we think, well, what do they know? The point is that God can use someone in their youth and can give them a great understanding and wisdom. It says, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. And Paul had a very special relationship with Timothy. Down here I've got listed these names: Timothy, Apollos, Stephanus, Fortunatus, Achaicus, Aquila and Priscilla. These names come up in this last portion. Now, here's another study, which, as far as I know, has not been done. Paul typically does this sort of thing as he gives his final salutation. As he draws to an end of his epistles, he then draws together various witnesses, various personal testimony, various commentation concerning individuals. Very practical, usually. And it would be a great study, I think, to take all these and look at the ends of his epistles and see what practical instruction you can find and how it differs going across the Acts 28 boundary. It would be a good study. But these are very, very interesting, because you find various statements like Timothy, don't despise him. Apollos, his will. At this time, it was not convenient for him. He made up his own mind, Apollos, that he would not come. But Paul says that, no, in his own time, according to his own convenience, he will come. And then you have Stephanus. He was the first fruits of Achaia. And all three of these, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Caiaphas, they were used in some way of filling up that which lacked of the Corinthians' performance. That's the signature thing that those three did. And then when you come down to Aquila and Priscilla, you find mention made of a church in their home. And if you go back in the scriptures, there's lots you learn about this couple. So you've got individuals, you've got a young one, and then you've got a couple. And this couple was mightily used to witness out to people. And I think about, you know, our own ministry and how, as we read through this, you're going to find that people made their own decision as to what ministry they would be a part of. They did it themselves. They addicted themselves to whatever ministry. And as you come down a little bit further, verse 12, it says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. And what is meant convenient would be in the context of whatever else he was doing. Sometimes there's an excuse we can make about convenient time, right? What's convenient? Well, convenient sometimes is what just fits into my sort of schedule of laziness. That can happen. we'll give Apollos the benefit of the doubt, because Apollos was a man who was mighty in the Scriptures, and we can see in the book of Acts that he was mightily used, and Priscilla and Aquila were used to bring him on unto perfection. And let's give him the benefit of the doubt, perhaps, that yes, this was to work in with a godly schedule. Verse 13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men. Just going back to the front slide here, that's the one there. And I want you to look at this. This is all imperative. See, this is a command. Watch ye, all right? Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. Then comes a very interesting thing. Quit you like men. Andrazestha. You know, one word in the Greek, but it's full of meaning. And how politically incorrect of Paul to write this. You know, how politically incorrect. Quit you like men. In other words, it's common knowledge what a man was. Common knowledge. And he's appealing to that. Do the man thing. Do the man thing. And he goes on and he says, be strong. Well, that goes very much with the man thing. Or it should be. But what we have today is this airy, fairy sort of stuff that brings down the strength of the man and sort of somehow makes women more masculine so that the two somehow meet between, and then there's this grayness in between there that no longer is this partition between the man and the woman. Now, what I'm saying now is so politically incorrect. I mean, with people today, we would just divide the room if we spoke like that to her. And yet it's just so obvious, isn't it? It's so obvious and so right. And more than ever, we need to proclaim it. We need to proclaim these things. Paul says it. Quit you like men. Be a man. There is such a thing as a man. There is such a thing as a woman. They are different, and they should be different. Thank God for the differences. Let's be who God intended us to be. And he goes on, he says, let all your things be done with charity. And I find this just beautiful. How that now, he doesn't just leave that up to your own imagination as to what it would mean, say, to be a man. To be a man does not contradict the idea of doing all things with charity. It doesn't contradict that. It's a part of it. To be a man doesn't mean to be a bully. It doesn't mean to treat people disrespectfully. In here, I've got a picture of some of the scenes that accompany the founding of the nation. And when you look at the lives of some of these men, they were men. They were prepared to die for the cause, to protect their family, to protect their nation. Men. And I think it's a great thing to see. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted, what does that mean? It means they ordained themselves. They set themselves to the ministry of the saints. They made a decision. They took the initiative, and they took the responsibility, and they went for it. Mr. Welsh, in the John Birch Society, 1958, the year I was born, he took the initiative. And he did it. He did it. Same here. These people addicted themselves. See what it says? Themselves. Addicted. Ordained themselves. Set themselves to the ministry of the saints. They made a choice. They made a decision. We all must make decisions in our lives as to how we are going to run this race. And understanding the Word of God rightly divided, man, does it help clarify things and help you to say, well, I'm not going to be a part of that ministry. Can't be a part of that. No, no, that's not right. No, I can't be a part of that. But what I can be a part of is this. And I'm going to do this. And do something with your life. Man, Champ and I were talking, you know, about men. Ourselves, specifically. You know, as you grow older as a man, and I don't know that this is true, but I suspect that it's true, that when, as a man, you grow older, your mind still stays kind of where it was in your mid-20s. You know what I'm saying? And you forget the fact that the body's going down, man. It's a 50-year-old body, but the mind, I know it's true of me. I think I can still do these things, and I have to say, wait a minute, look in the mirror, man. You can't do that now. You cannot do that. That's gone. That opportunity has gone. That was a part of your life, and the time has gone. Okay, so you shouldn't be all sad about it. You should face up to that reality and say, okay, well, I can't do that, but I can do this, and this is my stage of life. This is where I am, and this is how I can make my mark. You know, you have to be real, and sometimes, man, it's eating some sour pudding, I'll tell you, sometimes. But the facts are there, and we have to face them, and then we can make a better choice in our life. And it goes on in verse 16, it says, that ye submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Submit yourselves. Hey, that's a good thing too, isn't it? If you see someone who has addicted themselves to the correct ministry and you can't see how perhaps you will take some place of leadership, but you see someone else who really has, and you can see that, man, I can take a part of that. Okay, submit yourselves to them. Get in behind what they're doing. Get in behind it. The Kiwis have a saying when they're talking to the sheepdogs. Get in behind! Get in behind. And these dogs will do that. You know, they'll take a command. They're intelligent dogs, these border collies. And they'll go behind, and they'll get behind the cattle or the sheep. And they'll do that, and they know exactly what to do. I've seen instructions being given, and this is a true story. I've seen instructions given to a border collie by a farmer who has multi-thousand acre sheep station in the South Island of New Zealand, and he gives instructions to this dog with his whistle, and give it, and the dog runs off. Runs off, man. Gone! For the day. Farmer goes back to his house, does whatever he's doing. In the evening, here's that dog bringing in the flocks. Getting in behind. Bringing them in. It's unbelievable that you could train an animal to do that. Just imagine, you know, the kind of picture we have in there for us too, spiritually. That what effect we can have on the flock. Ivan Bowen just came in. Ivan Bowen is a New Zealand sheep. He used to be involved with shearing sheep. He used to win all sorts of prizes for being the fastest shearer of sheep. And he's a Christian man. And he specialized in the Psalms. And you talk about the flock. And you give many talks. I don't know whether his stories are online. But he's a fine guy. I met him once at a camp. Verse 17. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. They supplied your lack. And that has to do with the same idea that Paul uses in relationship later on to the filling up. The filling up to the full. And these people were involved with that filling up to the full. Now, in a greater sense, can't we be used to bring the knowledge of the mystery which fills to the full the Word of God? That's the spiritual picture we're getting from this, you know. Sure, we can be used in a practical way in all sorts of different features and characteristics and examples we can bring to. But there is this matter of right division and the fact that a sacred secret has been imparted to us through Paul the prisoner, and what we want to do is bring it to other people. We need to fill to the full
their understanding of the Word of God.
We need to do it. We can be like this, Fortunatus and Achaicus and Stephanus. Verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Isn't it true that you can get your spirit refreshed? Have you had your spirit refreshed? I mean, I know what it's like to sort of feel the bodily refreshment that comes when you've got a fit body, when you're absolutely 100% fit. I have had that. I've had that experience in my life. It's gone now. But I've had it. I remember it. And man, it's an amazing thing. But I've also had this freshness of the Spirit where you come to appreciate where you're going, your security in Christ, and furthermore, the wonderful knowledge of the revelation of the mystery. Man, a fresh start as a Christian, as a Christian. And that freshness of the Spirit, man, it's a great thing. And it says in verse 18, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. We need to acknowledge those that have been involved with such ministry, that are in this, to refresh us. We need to be a part of this. WriteTheVision.com. There's a place where the world can go and find some refreshment, where their spirits can be refreshed. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now, isn't it interesting that this salutation is going from one church to another, from a couple to a church, that there's this refreshment going on, the salutation going on between churches. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe in the future, we can have kind of like a refreshment here and salutation here in some sort of convention, some sort of conference on Write the Vision. Maybe in the future we can do it. You know, we don't need a fantastic number of churches to attend. We can have a few. You know, then they're still around. I know they're scarce as hen's teeth, but I mean, they are around. How many teeth does it? Okay, verse 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with an holy kiss. Wow, we can get into that. Well, there is a holy kiss, right? And then there's a Hollywood kiss. They're not the same. Okay, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. Now, here we come to an interesting thing, that here, the amanuensis, the one that was like the secretary that wrote down the words with the quill and the ink onto the parchment. They would write it down as Paul would dictate it. But Paul says, as he comes to his salutation, he says, hold the phone, man. I want people to see that what this thing that's been written down by you guys does come from me. And so he takes the quill and he writes with his own hand. Now, we're not privileged to see that, because that's gone, right? But fortunately for us, because of the providence of God and His promise to preserve His word, we've got it here. He says, the salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. That's accursed at Christ's coming in Syriac. Isn't it interesting that now he's using words which would be more associated with the Hebrew people? Well, it's not surprising, because the coming of Christ is from a Hebrew perspective. It's got to do with the hope of Israel. And he says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. There it is. That's the typical ending of Paul on all his epistles. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. What a beautiful way to finish with love, grace, and care. Amen. These words were said truly. Amen means this. Amen and amen. Verily, verily, truly, truly. And this is a true statement and record of the Word of God. It's a tremendous book. And we have learned so much through it, Timothy, Paul's beloved son, Apollos, mighty in the scriptures, Stephanus, supplier and first fruits, Fortunatus and Achaicus, here it is, Phil to the full, these ones who were used to help fill up that which was lacking that the Corinthians did not supply, Aquila and Priscilla, the great helpmeets. Go right here, my friends. Here is some messages that I gave in New Zealand, and I know you've seen some of them here, but probably not all of them, but this was more or less the synopsis of the great things that we had discovered in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I was quite happy to give that, and I know that a lot of people have been downloading from this particular series. Well, that's it. That's it for 1 Corinthians for now, but we'll no doubt come back again. Next series I hope to do will be Man, His Nature, and His Destiny. Let's finish with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for all that we have learnt, all that You have shown us. We ask, Lord, that we would be a blessing to others, that we would bring refreshment of spirit to others as we show the Word of God rightly divided. We pray that we'd continue to understand. We think of our children. Lord, we ask You'd bless them and keep them on the right path, and their children also, that they would come to know the knowledge of the truth, and that they would stay strong and firm, and that we'd see, Lord, a revival come back to America through our efforts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.